Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Goth and Bougie Podcast. We are still here. We have not run away yet.
Welcome to 106.1 Kiss FM.
No, it's
Smooth jazz. Easy
This is a
listening here
little
on the AM dial 96.7. I'll be here with you
Hey
all night.
there.
Spinning some old classics. If any requests,
103.7.
dial in.
This is Delilah. What's her name? This is Delilah in 103.7.
Yeah, Delilah. Delilah. Good times, guys.
Delilah.
Anyway, welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. We've been out for a bit. Sorry about that. Life happened. It always does. Y'all know that.
Yes, life has been interesting the
What
last 2 years.
episode is this, by the
We are
by?
at episode 136, and it's your episode. What are
I
we talking
can't
about
remember
today?
when we were so low down in the episode numbers. I'd be like, that was a good year. No, I can't say that was a good year.
Let's not say 136 was a good year.
136 in BC. 130, that was a good year.
Was a good year, man. I think I'm echoing. Am I
What? I
echoing?
think it's me.
Okay.
But who knows once we listen.
Yeah, I guess you say 36 was a good year. Was 36?
36 was a good year. That's a
That was a
perfect,
good
that is
year.
a good age. Yes,
It was
I
a
think it's
good
great.
year. Yeah, it was. I agree. It was a good year.
So last time we recorded was a couple weeks ago.
Yes, September 10th is when it was released and it was paranormal. So,
Yes, and I have another paranormal lined up for in a couple weeks in October.
we were planning on doing the paranormal the next week, guys, but I called Belle and I was trying to get to my grandmother before she died. I didn't make it. I called Belle like in tears crying. I'm like, I didn't make it.
Yeah, no,
But
because we were gonna record because I was doing my nails and we have a good parent. I have a good paranormal story with Ashley, who does my nails because she lived in an old funeral home when
it's
she was
crazy.
growing up. So I'm excited to hear her stories.
Like,
But
I want to know
yeah,
what made
you were
their parents
like,
think, like, oh, it's okay. It's an old funeral home. It's fine. We're fine. It's fine. It's fine. We're fine.
But that day you were like, when are we recording? Are you going to be ready? I have to leave right as soon as we're done. And I'm like, no, I am making, I'm like, Mel, we do not have to record today. People understand. Our whole two listeners, no, I'm kidding. We knew that everyone would understand. I said, I am making an executive decision. We are not recording today. Go be with your family. And you were on your way there. And I was in the middle of my nail appointment and you called me like she just died. I didn't make it. I'm like, oh, fuck.
You know, she was asleep. I mean, it's just been really hard because those of you that we've talked about her several times on the podcast, she's just funny. And I love her to, I loved her so much. And I'm her oldest grandchild out of 11. So I made her my Mimi. You know what I mean? So we had that bond. And it just, like, we saw her Tuesday. Ashley and I went and saw her Tuesday for the last time.
How old
And
was she again?
she was 92. She'll be 93 in
92. Oh, I
November.
remember because it's like you, Mimi, you're 92. How do you feel? Like shit, she said. She
Yeah,
was
so
so funny.
it's just been crazy, and just trying to be there for my mom and help do stuff, just get everything situated and done. She'd already planned her whole funeral, thank God, before 10 years ago my grandfather died. They're like, we didn't think she's gonna live this long. You know, I mean, she already had, like, her outfit was a 1X. The lady weighed like 90 pounds. So it was too big, but it was a blue dress because she had beautiful blue eyes like you do. And so they wound up cutting her dress, making it fit. And all that she asked, kept asking for, she wanted fucking eyebrows. So when I went to the funeral home, I'm like, my uncle, my mom look at me like, do you think there is there anything else she can think of? Because they're just like, you're like a zombie, you know? And I said, she asked for eyebrows because we had already painted, she asked for her nails, we painted them. I actually painted them the next day, that Wednesday. And she was on morphine already, kind of in and out of it. And then painted them pink because pink was one of her favorite colors. And then
My
they put
colors
eyebrows on
are
her.
blush and bashful. Your colors are pink and pink. Pink is my signature color.
So she when she so they she, yeah, she had everything planned. So she had this really pretty blue casket with like doves that said coming home or something. I don't know, I had like a embroidered thing.
Aww.
And then she picked 99 roses, hot pink and light pink roses. And so we found out why she picked 99 roses. I'm going to try to get through this without crying, because she said, I will love you until the day I die. So to me, that was such a big deal. And I don't know, it just has special meaning. So we each got all the grandkids got a rose that we are drying. So hopefully I think I'm going to frame it and just hang it up.
So she picked 99 roses for 99 people.
99 roses, the meaning of it is I will love you until the day I die.
Oh, okay. There's symbolism into the 99 roses.
Yeah,
okay.
So that's the meaning to it. So, she passed away.
Well, she doesn't love you anymore.
She passed away.
Trying to make light, but yeah.
Ashley left and went, you know, my life is always something. Always, yours too. She left and she had seen my grandmother that Tuesday, her great grandmother. And so she had a cruise already planned.
Yeah.
We knew Mimi was going to die. We had my mom's surprise party planned.
Yeah.
So it's just, it was like, oh my God, she's going to die.
Did you still do the party, your mom's party?
Still did my mom's surprise party. She was like in surprise.
Life Ashley goes on.
She walked in. Mimi would have
said the same thing. Life
exactly.
goes on.
Yes, we said surprise. She had like 30 people that loved her that were there. And she said, my mom walked in and she said, oh crap. She was so surprised, so happy. So that happened. But Ashley left that day. So my grandmother died that Thursday. And then we had a party Saturday. And then the next week, Wednesday, her funeral was Thursday. So I was out that we were closed Wednesday helping everything. I get this text from Ashley. I got bit by a shark. I may need to.
That's so funny. Sorry.
I knew she had an excursion planned to go like swim with the sharks. And these were like 5-foot nurse sharks.
Yeah.
So they weren't small sharks. And I'm like, what? You know, she's having the fucking, she's in Belize. I'm here. And my middle daughter came.
Yeah, no, you texted me and I'm like, how does that even happen? I mean.
Caitlin's like, well. That's why I posted her text because I'm like, it's hilarious. She's like, well, at least you'll have a cool scar. Not, are you okay? What, how did you like, well, at least you have a cool scar.
Well, she must, like, I mean, she said she must have been okay if she was able to say I got bit by a shark. Yeah, I agree with Caitlin that it's a cool story and you'll have a cool scar. And how big was the
it was laceration? A 5-foot shark. So the laceration hit the bone in her thumb and then on her ring finger. She can see the teeth mark.
Like, oh, wow. They
went through. And so it was videoed.
I'm about to say, please share that with me.
I will share the video. All you can do is hear them.
Oh,
you can hear everything going on.
Did she get pictures of the injury?
I have the pictures of that, yes, after the fact. But she handed her phone to like the person on the boat excursion and you hear them talking. Well, they left it on, thank God. And they laid it down flat. And it's recording. And then you hear her scream. Like scream bloody murder. And then you hear her like getting on the boat, like, I need a napkin or
bandana. Oh, her phone was put down prior to the bite.
Yes. She said, yes, so, like laid down flat. And you hear her say, I'm bleeding. I'm really bleeding really bad. I got bit by a shark. I need a napkin or a band-aid. A band-aid. I got bit by a shark. I need a band-aid. Not, you know, I had no idea she was missing a limb. Like, I didn't know.
That's funny.
Like, of course, then after I find out, I do the little shark thing that makes the face, you know, that you right. can talk.
But
like,
wait, you said you have the pictures of the injury?
I do. I'll send them to you.
You have not sent them to me? Are you even my friend?
It's not very bloody. You just see like where it's shredded.
I don't
like
care.
Her thumb,
I want to see
and it. Then you can see the bite on the other finger. So she got home on Saturday. So they told her not to go to the doctor. She told her everything was going on. They put numbing cream on it and put a Band-Aid on the ship. They said, you don't need to go to the doctor. It's fine. I'm like, Ashley, you need a tetanus shot and you probably need antibiotics because sharks carry a lot of bacteria in their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
She is so fucking sick. So fucking sick.
Wow.
She went to the doctor. She's already spoken with an attorney that does maritime law and stuff. Cause I'm like, this bullshit. You should have had a tetanus shot. Even her doctor said you should have had a tetanus shot. She got that. She's on Cipro. She's on antibiotics. Horrible
she
diarrhea.
She gets better. I mean, chills, there's no reason like, to I mean, that's an accident that, I mean, I don't think if she gets better, if she gets like has to go to the hospital, yes, maritime law attorney, whatever, try to do whatever she can to help recoup.
Yeah.
She's but, I mean, so if she gets sick. Better, just let it go. Shit happens.
So, but she's getting a little better, but she's still like, just doesn't, she feels, just doesn't feel good. Her white blood count was high. So we know she has an infection going on somewhere. Of course we know that. So
it's her finger.
It was her thumb. And her, this finger, like where
thank
the
God she didn't it. Like, she's not like missing a ditch.
Yes, I know. So that happened.
I'm sure she probably had to sign a waiver because you always have to sign waivers for shit like that.
The issue is that it was a carnival excursion that was sponsored, you know, the carnival excursion that she booked through the ship. Yeah. So when she got back on the ship, they should have taken her to the clinic to clean it out. That's the whole problem, because they should have given her antibiotics that they have on the ship and cleaned out the wound. They didn't. They said, you're going to be fine. You don't need to see the doctor. And they put numbing cream on it with a Band-Aid. That's what they did. Instead of doing the correct protocol of getting a tetanus shot, which they have on the ship, getting starting antibiotics, which they have on the ship.
But is tetanus a thing with animal bites? I mean, I know it's like cuts and like stuff like that, but with a shark, is tetanus? I know bacteria and infection.
It's because of a lot of bacteria infection. So it's one of the things with the protocol for shark bites. And if you look up, you get bit by a shark and it's not that bad, what do? It says get a, because I immediately started researching, like, what do we need to do? Like, you need a tetanus shot, first of all, because it's probably been, you know, 8 to 10 years since you had one. Mm-hmm. So we covered one, get another one. So it was just crazy. And anyway, so yeah, but yeah, so, but I do have a bag of zombie farts for you. If you didn't see that.
I did. I'm like, oh, I'm so homeless.
You know, I do Elf on a Shelf and I posted Elfie. So, bagoffarts.com is actually candy. So I had found reindeer farts at Christmas at Target. This was a few years ago. And usually I repost, you know, the same thing since I don't really do Elf on the Shelf, but people love seeing it. So the owner of bagoffarts.com sent me a message. It's like, I love this post with your elf on the shelf. It is awesome. I'm sending you some free candy. And I was like, okay. So she sent me narwhal candy parts. And then it's cotton candy. And
like,
so
you had me at free.
It's cotton candy. And so I said, thank you. I said, I love it. And then I said, I'll definitely give you a little shout out on our podcast. And I told her I did the podcast. I thought, oh, I'll send you zombie farts too. And I'm like, oh my God, thank you. So
yes,
I have it saved for you when you come there.
Thank goodness. Yes. And it's like cotton candy, right? You said
it's cotton candy.
I love cotton candy. Favorite. Like we'll pass. David, like if we pass like cotton candy, even in the store, the crappy kind in the bags, I'm like, oh God, I have to like not eat it because it also makes me so sick. But oh my God, I love it. I love it.
I just love it because it's like, who comes with heart candy? But it's that's like cute. What a great thing to have. That's so cute. It's bagoffarts.com is where it's from. So you guys go, it's a woman-owned business as well.
Oh, that's cool.
Single mom, woman-owned business. You guys go support her. It's great like for stocking stuffers and stuff with the holidays coming up. So
that's cool.
But that's
I haven't really gotten a chance really to talk to you much about the stuff that I've been doing because I know that, you know, you're kind of sad and I didn't want to.
I cry every day.
I know. But I you cry know, she every lived, day. I know it sounds cliche, but she lived the life you should want to have lived at the time.
She did. She did.
I mean, and she didn't to be 92, to die living an awesome life, to have your family around you, to, I mean, she was still had her sassiness. I mean, yeah.
I mean, out of the 12 kids, because she's one of 12, even though the damn preacher, God help him, he said, he's reading like the back of the program, like, you know, the obituary, I have a new name. It's Malenia. He renamed my cousin Jenna Janina. So we were
like John Travolta whenever he was talking about that one.
It's just like my mom goes, Melanie.
She said out loud. Like, nobody rehearsed with him. Nobody.
My grandmother.
Melanie's not a hard word though.
It's not, but. In his defense.
Aaron.
That's all we were thinking about. And we were all trying not to laugh.
I'm like, this is another. Melania.
Another funeral joke. Worth. How my grandfather farted. Like at my grandmother's funeral. We're all laughing. So we all couldn't look at each other. We're sitting there, and it was funny. And also it said my little brother Josh, and then in parentheses it said Jennifer, right? Like you put the actual grandchild, but you also put their spouse in parentheses. In his defense, he was African American, so I'm assuming like they don't do that at their funeral.
I've actually never seen that either. It would have been like, and also survived by grandson Joshua and wife Jennifer Jennings. I mean, I've never actually seen it in parentheses like that either.
He didn't understand that. No, I have before, but he didn't understand that. And he's like,
so like if
but he's like so he's reading
like Belinda survived by daughter Belinda. Parentheses Robert Carr.
I don't know either because I would think
is Belinda trans and actually goes by Robert.
That's what he was thinking. But like
that's what I would think too.
But I didn't write the obituary.
I don't know who wrote that.
The oldest sibling did. So I'm just like, okay.
That might be some antiquated because I've been to a lot of I've been to a lot.
Yeah, but I just think so. Melanie's not a very common
American
name. Melania is, but not Melanie. So
great. I love it.
I mean, Janina, yes, but not Jenna. So
that's hilarious.
He was nervous, but my grandmother loves
him. Yeah, because I would like to apologize to all African Americans. I don't think it was because he was African American. I just think that is not typical
they're not common names. But also, him reading the obituary, I don't know if that would they have in that format.
Like, and he was the preacher of of the funeral home. Did he know her? No,
he knows my grandmother. My grandmother requested him because he's one that came up. He called her Mrs. G.
Okay.
So he told us stories about her. How
has he done a funeral before? Like it's not his first burial, right?
We don't know.
Because I mean, he's a preacher, so clearly he's preached before. You should read things ahead of time. Did he not?
Did he
just show up and be like, all right, give me the script? Like,
yes, pretty much. But he knew my grandmother.
Like I'm about to do with reading my story later.
He came to visit my grandmother every week. So he did know her. And he did tell stories about her that were of my grandmother, but
personal stories.
And my grandmother loved him and said, I want him to do my funeral. So that's what he did. Hmm. But we tried to ask him, do you want someone to go up and read that? And he said, no, I got this. And we're like, but the funny thing is my grandmother was number three.
That's hilarious. No.
She was like number seven of 12 kids. He said she was number 17th of 12 kids. I'm like, listen, I'm not good at math, but that's
really drunk. Me.
No, but we're like 17th of 12 kids.
How oh my that God. That's how, this is, that's really great. That's hilarious. Like he was just like, showed up, pulled up in the parking lot, jumps out, puts his drink down. Hand me though. I've got this.
My cousin Ryan. Sitting next to me,
like having a drink with his friends, and be like, "Oh shit, I gotta go do this funeral. I'll be right back."
I look at Ryan. So it's me and then Ryan, as far as in order of the grandkids. I look at him and I'm like, "Huh?" Like about funeral, I go 17th to 12th. I don't understand. And I'm like, look straight ahead. He's like, I don't either.
Yeah, I was pulling for him on the whole parentheses name thing until.
Like, oh my God. It was funny. So.
Well, I'm sorry you've had such a sad couple of weeks. I've actually had a very eventful. I mean, I'm very busy with work, but we've been really trying. Okay, like this last week, weather's beautiful, you know.
Weather's actually beautiful here now. Gorgeous. As well.
Yes, it's been gorgeous. It's like finally, hello, fall. I've missed you, friend.
Hopefully the hurricane's not heading to y'all.
No, it veered way off. And we're having the same cold front everyone's having. Okay. And it's because of that cold front is why the hurricane veered over to Florida. So Florida, you know, got slammed.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Disney World got hit too.
Huh?
Disney World got like a
water. Yeah,
I saw.
But like last when I found the beach, I told you guys I'd found that beach that's only like 45 minutes away. And I was like, I want to go to the beach. I want to do something else before summer's over. You know, it stays warm and we could go anytime, but still I wanted to do something. So I'm like, I definitely want to go to the beach. So we just woke up over the weekend And I was like, you want to go to the beach? And Robert's like, yeah. I'm like, yes, yes, let's go. So just threw, got our swimsuits, threw on, grabbed a bag. It was great because it's not far. So you didn't have to like pack, you know, for like a big long trip. And we drove 45 minutes. We got there. It's beautiful. Like the beaches are almost like white. No, not white, but I mean, they're prettier than Galveston, way, way prettier than Galveston.
I miss being able to take drive an hour to the beach. I miss that so fucking much. I miss it so much.
It was nice. It was nice. And there, you know, there was a few families there and stuff. I was there in my chair. I had my hat on, my sunglasses on. I had my umbrella.
Because I saw your picture. It's so cute.
Because I didn't wear my kimono or anything in the water, but I did have my hat and my sunglasses on in the water. But yeah, it was nice. And the water there is like, it's in Galveston, it's like it's pummeling you with the waves. Mm-hmm. They're just, but in that area, it's like just some steady waves. It's called Waveland. The city is actually called Waveland, Mississippi. It is deep in the heart of Trump land. I'm just letting y'all know. Should you decide to take a trip someday to Waveland, Mississippi, just be aware that's where you're going. But yeah, it was, I mean, I got some looks from some of the other people, like, what the fuck is this chick? But I don't care. I had a good time. Yeah, it was fun.
You just wave at him. Hi. Yeah.
What sucked was that I had hurt my knee. So what happened was the week before I told you that we wanted to go to 80s night. And so we went to 80s night. And it was fun, but I hurt my knee. I don't know what I did. I was being an idiot, probably. I had a few drinks and somehow I hurt my knee. I didn't think I hurt it that night, but then by the weekend, it was hurting like really badly. Like every time I bit my knee, it hurt. It's clicking and making this weird sound. So I went to the mall with my friend and her teenage daughter and her teenage daughter's friends, little baby bats. I told you about that. And I had a really great time with the teenage kids. It's really great because it's funny how I really enjoyed spending time with teenage kids. Went to Hot Topic for the first time in a long, long time. Hot Topic is different. Not quite the same, but I did buy a little matching necklace thing that I sent you.
Yes, I love it. It's so cute.
Because you're always thinking and buying stuff like that. And I saw that. I'm like, oh, me and Mel could have matching necklaces, BFF necklaces. So that was fun. That was a lot of fun to get to hang out with the younger crowd. It was really funny because I was walking through Hot Topic in my normal thing. And in that mall, it's a mall I had not been to before. There was actually quite a few like goth people who walking around. I was actually really surprised because, you know, we're in South Louisiana. It's not like there's, so it's really nice to see more people dressed like that. But I was walking around in the Hot Topic and I ran into somebody and it was a younger guy. And he was like, oh, I just love everything about your outfit. Like, thanks. Took a lot of practice to get this shit down, but hey buddy, Jasper's here. But no, I had a good time. I was, what else? Oh, so when we went to 80s night, I saw up on the screen, it said September 24th, dark 80s night.
Ooh.
I want to go to dark 80s
night. That's right up your alley.
Yes, but it wasn't at the same place. It was at another place. It was a place called Sydney's Saloon, which is kind of over by the Goat and the Always Lounge, which in that area.
Yeah, where we went.
Yeah, and it's kind of a small place. We got there. I was decked out, but my knee was still fucking hurting. It really put a damper on the evening because they were playing some really fun songs. They played Susie and the Banshees, Bauhaus, The Cure, of course, Depeche Mode. And it was a lot of fun, but I couldn't dance because of my knee, and that sucked. That really sucked. So we
gonna need you to get your knee better before you can.
What is better today? Like I couldn't even go into the office last week at all. Cause you know, I go in the office a couple of days a week. I couldn't even go in at all. Cause my knee was hurting so bad. It's better. I have gone into the office yesterday and today, and I have to go back in tomorrow. So it is better. But yeah, no, I want to be able to dance whenever I come to town. I reached out. I didn't reach out, but I chatted with Bianca and Heather. Yay. And they're going to be at Pan that night. I told them, I said, I hope you guys can make it to Pan that night. So they're going to be there. I'm probably going to invite my sister. I haven't told her yet. But yeah, it'd be nice to have just see if Brandy can come. See, the Duchess can come.
I do possibly have a best friend surprise just for you and I to do something before we go to Penn.
Oh, yeah. So. Well, I mean, I figured I was going to be with you that whole afternoon, evening, because I'm borrowing your car.
Well, yeah. No, what I'm saying is, like.
Yeah. At Penn? Don't tell me. I wanted to be surprised.
I'm not going to tell you, but that it's going to be before, earlier in the evening before Penn.
Before somewhere. Penn. Okay. Yes. We're going somewhere. Okay. Okay. Gotcha. Yes. That's exciting.
But you can be dressed goth. The way we dress at Penn is perfect.
Okay. That sounds good.
It's perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect.
It's perfect. So yeah, that was really the extent of my last 2 weeks was the beach, 89, hoping my knee gets better, planning to go out of country, planning to come see you in Dallas. It's going to suck because I have to work for the week, but I did take that Friday completely off and I don't fly back out.
So you're coming Saturday. To me Thursday night or Friday?
I am coming to you on
Thursday,
Friday morning. Probably
because you're coming to get my car. I have to be at work by early.
How about this? You go ahead and drive into work and I will Uber to your work to pick up the car. That sounds better. I think that's better because I do not want to be, because I took the day off because it's really, really busy. I'm coming in for work and I'm going to have a lot of long days earlier in the week because it's, you know, we're delivering a program. So I'm going to not want to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock, whatever fucking time you have to get to work. Cause that's ungodly.
It takes me an hour and a half, almost hour and a half to get to work. So.
Yeah, no, it takes me
for now
a 12 minute walk. Depends on how fast I'm walking. It takes me 12 minutes, 20 well, minutes. I mean, if I'm strolling leisurely, like today, you know, it's beautiful weather. I'm strolling a little more leisurely. So it's really nice. It's lovely outside. It's lovely. So have you been watching, sorry, the new American Horror Stories? Not, it's like their individual episodes. Have you watched any of those?
I have not because I was watching Dahmer and I just finished Dahmer.
Yes. Well, we're watching one episode a night of Dahmer because I don't want to go through it too quickly. And
what cracks me up is, people are just like, oh my God.
Yeah, no, Harper's been telling me all that. People are like all shocked.
This is the shit we talk about all the time. I'm like, it doesn't even faze me.
Well, like what I said to Denzel and on Facebook on your comment is that it's shocking people because it's not fictionalized. It's very real. Like Robert has been doing a little bit more research to me because I haven't had time because I asked him and I'm like, I need to know how accurate it is.
Oh,
or I'm going to stop watching it because I'm like, if it's too fictionalized, I don't want to even watch the rest of it because I don't like watching shows like that. I'm like, the truth is
enough. Right. Where they make it more Hollywood.
Yeah. but no, it is very accurate.
It is so accurate. They actually showed we know what happens. I'm not going to tell you, but you know, the court scene of one of the family members and then the court scene like from the show and then the court scene from the actual family member.
And it's really close. Yeah.
Oh yeah. My God.
Oh, I don't mean just like accurate to like, I mean, like, accurate I mean, to like the actual events of what he did.
Like, no, what but he I mean, did. Just, yeah. Yes, but I'm just saying,
they did a great job.
Accuracy of these actresses and actors, and the way they studied the cases and stuff. Of I know Jeffrey
Evan
Dahmer
Peters.
Way,
oh my God,
he's Evan Peters, awesome. Fucking him. If he does not win a goddamn award for this show,
he won't. He probably won't. But yeah, I hope this launches him because I think he's been very much underrated and not noticed for how talented he is.
Absolutely.
So I hope this really launches his career out because, I mean, he was awesome in American Horror Story.
And Kevin was my favorite that he's a zombie.
but I was asking because, so we've been watching those episodes of American Horror Stories is what they're called. And each one's like a different story.
I saw that it was going to be
and,
that.
You know, what we is haven't it? Really, we haven't
is it on
really,
Hulu? Is it on?
I think it's on Hulu.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever platform that comes out. Anyway, we've been, they're like, they're okay. They're it's not as good as the whole series because they have to wrap it all up in one episode. And sometimes it's kind of convoluted. And I'm like, what the crap's happening here. But before we take a break, I'm gonna like give a little teaser into what my story is about. The last episode that we watched, and it, I don't know if it's the last episode released, but it's the last one we watched. It's called Necro. And we're like, what is
like necromancy?
Like necrophilia.
Oh, fuck.
So we're like, what is this episode about? So watching this episode,
well, duh, it's necrophilia. Well, it's, yes, we know it's
absolutely about that, but still wondering where it's going. And you're watching it and you're thinking, this is fucked up. But then part of me is like, it's kind of hot. Because it's, and things like that, just, I think all of it's just so fascinating what turns people on. Like, we're looking, me and Rob looking at each other, and it's like, this is, what's fucked up is that there are people who are, this really is what does it for them. Yes. Like, that's their thing. Like, yes. Me with leather and chains and choking me. I mean, this is like their thing. Yes. So yeah, it's, yeah, it's interesting. So anyway, my story that I'm going to talk about is about, Karen Greenlee, who is known as the unapologetic necrophile. She is an American criminal who was convicted of stealing a hearse and having sex with the corpse it contained. So we're going to take a quick break. And then we're going to tell that story.
Come back.
Sit tight, guys. Don't Google her yet. Wait till you hear the story. All right, stay tuned. There we go. Thank you for staying tuned. Welcome back. We either lost you because you're like, yep, I don't want to listen about that shit, or you are still here. And if you are still here in order to listen to this story, you're my kind of people.
My kind of people, for sure.
Yeah. There's always something I was about to say to tell you, and I always fucking forget. Anyway, I don't remember. Anyway, here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you right now. There's later in this story, I'm going to actually read an interview with her. It's gonna blow you away. Just gonna have to tell you. Just be ready. Just be ready.
I don't get shocked very easily. You're
gonna stop me and be like, what? He's like, let me finish. Wait, okay. There's more. Okay, so Karen Margaret Greenlee was born in 1956. Like I said, she is an American criminal who was convicted of stealing a hearse and having sex with the corpse inside it.
What makes you think?
Today,
I'm going to go steal a hearse and have sex with the corpse.
No, it wasn't just that day. She is considered as the best known modern practitioner of necrophilia, and her case is the subject of much research due to her gender, as only 10% of known necrophiles are women, as well as because of a highly detailed interview that she gave about her extensive practice of necrophilia in the anthology book titled Apocalypse Culture. So Karen's father, Al Myers, said that she had been sexually molested at age 8 and raped by a teacher at 14 while she was living in Sonoma County, California. Mm. There's not a whole lot to be found on the internet about her childhood, because
that right there is enough to do it for you.
I don't know. There's a lot of people they don't fucking fuck dead people. Well, yeah, anyway, afterwards, she moved with her family to Colfax, California, where she graduated from high school. Karen realized as a young girl that she was sexually attracted to the dead. So she did what she needed to do in order to gain access to attractive young dead men. She began a career working in the morgue as an apprentice embalmer. Karen admits to having been caught doing sexual and other inappropriate acts more than once, but her employers all just turned the other way. What she says. She claims to have been intimate with as many as 40 corpses at the time.
So they would walk in on her fucking a corpse or giving head to a corpse or whatever, and they would just turn around and walk out like, well, that was interesting.
There's more. She claims to have been intimate with his, I told you, it's gonna pull you, like, with as many as 40 corpses at the time of her interview. When I'm going to read a little bit of it. And,
I wonder if you can get an STD from a corpse.
Just wait. There's.
Oh, okay.
And she was very adamant that she was not the only one doing it. She's actually a proponent of necrophilia as normal. So she was only 22 when she was finally caught and arrested.
22?
On December 17th, 1979, she stole the 1975 Cadillac hearse that she was driving to a private burial, along with the body of a 33-year-old man who had died a week before. Karen took the 33-year-old John McCure's body to the next county, and she had her way with him. 2 days later, she wrote an in-depth suicide letter confessing all of her sins, you know, saying, why do I do this? I'm a morgue rat. This is what she called herself, a morgue rat. she just basically poured her heart out in this letter and attempted to commit suicide by overdosing on about 20 pills of Tylenol 3, which is Tylenol and codeine. It is a narcotic. Well, her plan didn't go the way she wanted. The cops actually caught her and saved her life. So she didn't get to die. And that was pretty much when everyone found out what Karen had been up to. In her
to return the body, though, right?
Yeah. Yes. So charges were pressed, but because necrophilia was not illegal in California at the time, she was only accused of stealing the hearse and interfering with a funeral, for which she pled guilty and was sentenced to pay a $255 fine, and she spent 11 days in jail. After her release, her probation included mandatory therapy, which she says helped her make peace with herself. So her Ann Memorial Lawn Mortuary, where the body was where she worked, were sued for $1 million by Marion Gonzalez, who was the mother of the victim. He's dead, but John McCure, she was his mother, for a severe emotional distress. At the Supreme Court hearing,
I mean, as a mother, God forbid, or my kids passed away, and I'm going, I'm at like the graveside waiting for the body to show up, and you're just like, okay, let's go. Like,
yeah. So I didn't say that, but this, what witnesses say is that she was almost there to deliver the casket with the body at the funeral, and then saw his family, and for some reason decided to leave. So, she turned around and drove off with the corpse. So at the Supreme Court hearing, the defense psychiatrist, Dr. Captain Thompson, said that he did not think that the event really had much of a lasting impact on the victim's mother, and didn't think there should be a $1 million settlement. Although the mother had a history of alcoholism and depression, and also a former embalmer and colleague of Karen also testified that there was really no reason to suspect that Greenlee would have committed such a crime. So really the employer can't be held accountable.
But they've seen her with the corpses.
Well, she didn't say that one had. That's what she has just said all along, that nobody, it's kind of normal. So she, but now we'll get there. So what happened was she ended up being, that guy said that because there was really no reason to suspect that she would commit a crime, she was typically very quiet and seemed very competent at her job. The lawsuit was eventually settled for $117,000 in general and punitive damages.
That's all she got was $117,000?
Yeah. So a few years later in 1987, Karen gave a detailed and frank interview entitled The Unrepentant Necrophile about her necrophiliac interest to author Jim Morton for the book Apocalypse Culture, or like I said earlier, blah, blah, blah. And it was published by Farrell House, and you can buy and read the book, and there's other things in it too. So I'm going to read some of the interview.
I'm good.
Yeah. I'm going to read some of the interview. That's what I'm saying. If this is not, you might want to skip out now and skip this episode. But if you are still here, yes, here are people. So I'm going to read some of the interview because it's pretty fucked up. But if you want to read all of it, you can read it online. So one of the questions was, so when did you first become aware of your necrophilia? She said, it's something I've been attracted to all my life. I used to hold funeral services for my pets when they died, had a little pet graveyard. I lived in a small town and the fireman's barbecue was next door to the funeral home. To go to the bathroom, you had to use the facilities in the funeral home. I'd find any excuse I could to go to the bathroom. Then I'd take side trips and wander around the mortuary. So she found it fascinating from very young. The next question is that the guy said, so the question he had been asked most often to ask her was, how did she do it? Like, how did she do this? Like, how do you have sex with that person? She says, yes, that's the question. People ask questions like that a lot. Even people who seem pretty cool seem to have open minds. Then when you tell them, they just say, huh, that's interesting. They don't want to have much to do with me. I don't mind telling people how I do it. It doesn't matter to me, but anyone adept sexually shouldn't have to ask. People have this misconception that there has to be penetration for sexual gratification. That is bull. The most sensitive part of a woman is in the front area anyway, and that is what needs to be stimulated. Besides, there are different aspects of sexual expression, touchy-feely, 69, even holding hands. That body is just lying there, but it has what it takes to make me happy. Sorry. The cold, the aura of death, the smell of death, the funeral surroundings, it all contributes. I find the odor of death very erotic. There are death odors, and then there are death odors, she said. What? Now, to get your body that's been floating in the bay for 2 weeks or a burn victim, that doesn't attract me much, she said. But a freshly embalmed corpse, that is something else. And she said, there's also this attraction to blood. When you're on top of a body, it tends to purge blood out of its mouth when you're making passionate love. You have to be there, I guess. So she said.
What? Is that fuck? Is this lady?
So now it's in your mind. Now you see it, right?
You're like, I do see it.
I don't want it in my head.
I see her riding this corpse in my blood.
Wait till you see that show, that necro. You gotta go watch it. It's gonna fuck you up. Oh my God. That episode's an interesting episode. I just gotta say that. So then one of the other questions.
People are just like, in my wildest dreams, having fucking a dead corpse. But how can you do 69 with a corpse?
I told Rob, I would fuck Robert. I'd fuck him dead. I don't care.
But like doing, he's like 69 and I'm like, okay, do you pull the tongue out? I'm like, clench their teeth shut so the tongue's sticking out. I'd pull
Robert's tongue out.
But I'm just trying to like figure out how she's doing 69. Like their nose. Like I'm just trying to like,
I mean, I guess so. You rub, I mean.
I'm just trying to figure it out. Okay, go ahead.
And let me clarify, I would fuck him dead, not because I would kill him, but only because I love him so much and he's hot as fuck and I'm very attracted to him.
I have questions. Does she only fuck them like riding them? But or does she like pose them other ways, like a Barbie, like to fuck them?
Like, go read the interview. Go read more of the interview because she does tell
me questions.
I know, right? It's like that. And she says that's what the main question people ask is, what do you do? Well, I mean, it's, I guess, like, you know, people have sex dolls inanimate mannequins that they can't move. You pose them and you want them to be posed. All right. So moving on. Another question that he asked her, he said, did you usually attend the funeral of your corpse lovers? She said, yeah, it was convenient working in the funeral.
Yeah. It's normal, yeah.
I'd get to drive out to the cemetery with the family. I'd get to mourn right along with the family at the loss of that loved one, except I was groaning in a little bit different tone. People can't really tell if you're grief-stricken or passion-stricken. I've had members of the families put their arms around me and say, we're so glad you could come. Then you have to spin this big old yarn. She said, oh yeah, I knew him in school. And she said, and like, if the guy didn't have a girlfriend in life, they think I might've been the secret girlfriend. So she was also asked, I just can't get over it. Next time I go to a funeral, I'm going to be looking at everyone there, see if I know them or not. Anyway, she was asked, how common is necrophilia in the funeral business? She said, necrophilia is more prevalent than most people imagine. Funeral homes just don't report it. There was one place that I broke into, and I know that they knew something was wrong. They actually caught me in the act and let me get away. You can go online and read the whole story of what happened right there. I chose not to read that now because it's kind of a long story. But the gist of it is she was really depressed. She broke into a funeral home and went in there, and there was a corpse there, and she started to do her thing with the corpse, and somebody walked in. She jumped off, she
froze,
tried to hide. They saw that somebody was there, said, don't stay right there. The other person, there was two people, said, go get a gun. I'll stay here. And that she broke for it and ran out the door and was able to get away. That's the gist of that story. Another time she says that, you know, there's a little bit more. At another place I was working, this guy came up to me and said, someone's been messing with the body. It looks like they were trying to fuck the body. I said, oh my goodness, really?
She went, oh my goodness.
What?
Really? Why? You don't say.
She said, I think they figured it out later. And I know that they know now. Yeah, they're like, oh shit, that's that girl. She said, just wait, there's more. She said, one mortician I worked with used to like take a trocar, which is a long hollow needle used to suction fluid from corpses. And he would push it up inside a male cadaver's dick. And he'd say, oh, look, the corpse has got a boner. She said, this is what she said. This guy was really weird. She said, this interview has got, I'm just like, what? It's got me scratching my head. She said, he looked like
this would be crazy. To think that he's weird and that
he's weird.
He's weird that he pushes a fucking
she said
tube up the man's dick. She said she was sure. It's not weird that I'm fucking riding the hard dick that's dead.
She said that she was sure that he had necrophilic tendencies. She said he would get real upset if there wasn't any female bodies to work on. He'd start pacing the floor. She said, I caught him one time in the prep room. He said it was just taking a pee in the hopper at the end of the table, but he was pulling up his pants when I walked in. And she said, I said, if you won't tell, I won't. That's what she said. The next question, he said, it must be frustrating when people say to you, we have a cure for you, or you've got to be more like us. We will help you be normal. She said, it is. For a while, I found myself thinking, this isn't normal. Why can't I be like other people? Why doesn't the same pair of shoes fit me just right? I went through all of that personal hell. And finally, I accepted myself. This is a story of self-acceptance, if anything. And finally, I accepted myself and realized that's just me. That's my nature. And I might as well enjoy it. I'm miserable when I try to be something I'm not. And two, a lot of these people who are putting me down have hangups worse than I have, or they do things that they might be, that might be considered questionable by their peers. She said, I had a gay friend when he found out I was a necrophile, he said, you can go to hell for that. So after 1979,
wait, okay.
Yeah, she said, after 1979, when I was put on probation, part of the probation requirement was that I seek therapy. I had a really nice social worker. She was cool, very non-judgmental. The more I talked to these people, the more I realized that necrophilia makes sense for me. The reason I was having a problem with it was because I couldn't accept myself. I was still trying to live my life by other people's standards. To accept it was peace. These people who are always trying to change me only helped me get myself more in touch with my feelings. I used to go from the therapist's office to the funeral home. It didn't work out, guys. She said, she was asked, have you seen any changes in people's attitudes toward necrophilia?
That's like an alcoholic going to an AA meeting and then going to the bar.
Yeah. Yeah. Or being told it's just who you are.
Yeah. You just can't do that. I mean, it is
that you kind of accept that you're an alcoholic, but you cannot touch, but she
can't go to the bar.
She didn't think there was also something wrong with acting on their impulses. That's the thing is that yes, be at one with who you are, but you can't act on those impulses because that person is not consenting. Right. I mean, if that person gave their consent and said, hey, fuck me when I'm dead, I don't know. Anyway, she said, have you seen any changes in people's attitudes toward necrophilia? She said, yes, when I came out here, she moved to a different part of the area. I think it's an area in California. She said, it's almost like a fad. They're not really necrophiles, but they're like pseudo necrophiles, like a death cult fascinated with, that's kind of like me, fascinated with death, fascinated with morbidity, fascinated with a dark culture. She said
the same for me, but I don't want to go fuck a dead person.
Right. Right. I mean, I like cemeteries. Doesn't mean I want to dig them up and, you know, finger one. She said, there's probably a lot of people who would do it if they had the opportunity. So you can read the whole interview online. Just search Karen Greenlee interview and you're going to find it. What's funny is that there's, if you're named Karen, there's a lady who also came up in her LinkedIn profile. It really sucks that you have that name. So she's very candid in her interview. What I read here is just a little bit of it. And she like really, she did later say that she absolutely regrets talking publicly on the subject because, as you can imagine, she's caught a lot of slack over it and people have really questioned her. Today, she is in her 60s. She has changed her name and she has virtually disappeared. So who knows where she is? I'm saying every old woman now, I'm going to be like, you can look up her picture and see a picture, the latest pictures of her. But yeah, the parent, no story yet of if she's died or where she's at now or anything.
I wonder if she has TikTok.
Like that one guy covered that has like a YouTube channel. He's a fucking murderer. Yeah. So that is Karen Greenlee, the unapologetic necrophile.
Wow.
Yeah, that episode Necro made me think about that because wow. in that episode, the girl works in a funeral home and she's fascinated by the dead. She says she enjoys being, you know, her job more than anything. And part of that is what happens later on in the episode, but it's like a really interesting episode, but it made me think about that. Robert actually sent this story to me and I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got to do this chick. So
wow,
that is my true crime story. Crazy. It's not a long story, but it's a good
that
one.
That was a great story. That's crazy. That is a
yeah.
Wow.
Crazy. Yeah, I know I have questions too.
I just have lots of questions. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Wowza. Well, I have my story. I have a story that I'm doing for next week. It'll be true crime. And it is about kids that get killed. So I'm back to my old ways.
Well, my next story, I think it's going to work out to be, let's see, your next week. And then I'm the next week. And then you're the next week. Oh, are we going to record in person together? Because I'm going to be working that whole week. Do you want to do an episode that Friday, maybe?
If we have time, we can.
Yeah, because I won't be able to record during the week. We'll talk about it offline. We'll take this offline. We'll talk about it offline. That's what they say in all my fucking Zoom meetings that could have been emails. We'll take this offline. Yeah, you could take this whole thing off your offline. If 17 people here in a fucking meeting and you just having a one-on-one conversation with somebody. Anyway.
I am mailing next out the mine. Gifts this week. So you guys will be getting them. They're like I said, they're all packaged. I've been a little sad the last few weeks. Been a little sad. So you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So the next time I do a story, I want to do paranormal and we're gonna talk to Ashley who lives all ties together. See? Funeral home again. She lived in a haunted funeral home. It was not a working funeral home when she lived there. It was a funeral home before.
Right. That's just crazy though.
That's so I'm excited. Insane. She's told me some of the stories. I'm excited to like really get into the stories. So
I do have to tell you, I went to David's game last Friday and it was Roy City against Rockwall. Huge, like Mesquite versus North Mesquite game, like huge, right? It brought back so many memories.
I know. I saw them when you post that on. I know.
Oh my God. They're so fucking good. But let me tell you, And Mr. Klein looked at us and said, I want y'all to do choreography and like prance across the fucking football field and do like all these like modern dance. I would have been like, no.
No.
Rockwall's show is fucking like their band is so good. I can see why. Like, I don't know. I'm just a proud.
I know.
Right
I kind of
like,
miss going. I wish I could go to a football game.
Yeah. It's so good. They are so good. They paid $3,000 for fucking props.
That's pretty
to
cool.
Use on the field. That it's called Northern Lights. It's like light of iridescent things. Anyways, I just had to share that. It's so cool. And that's how Bella and I met. So I just look at it. I'm like, oh my God, these are like friends for life. All these people are friends for life. And it's so fun. That's it. I just had to throw that in there.
Okay. That's it for us. Oh, let me find the.
Follow us on our accountant pages because mine is back up now. What else? Our TikToks, Instagrams, you guys know. I haven't done anything outside of Patreon yet. So
I know. I think we need to just stop Patreon because
we will. We have the coffee one.
There's one called Buy Me a Coffee. And then I think that might be a good idea because then people can just contribute one time.
Yeah.
Donations to help with, you know, our everything.
Life just happened with losing my grandmother, and I've just been helping my mom with everything and clearing shit out. So
Well, I'll try to do more too. That's a lie. That's a lie.
Okay.
Maury's lie detector test. Lie detector test results are in. It has been determined. That is a lie.
Oh my god.
All right, yeah.
All right, guys.
Thanks for sticking with us, guys.
Yes. Y'all come back now.
You're here.